Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
At Midwest IT Support Help Desk, we believe that technology should support and enhance your organization's success, not constrain it. With our wide range of best-in-class services, we provide customized solutions that fit your unique IT needs. We are committed to excelling at our job so you can focus on doing yours. Midwest IT Support Help Desk is always available, providing your organization with professional remote help desk support services you need. Midwest IT Support Help Desk will solve your technology issues day or night. Our IT staff ensures that your network and computers are up to date and ready for operation on a daily basis. Don't wait until problems occur. Let our organization solve them with our monitoring software, giving you the peace of mind you need. Let us do the worrying for you. Enabling your workforce with top-notch technologies isn't just important, but imperative for business success. This customizable solution allows your team to work seamlessly and collaboratively in a protected space. No matter what IT services you need, Midwest IT Support Help Desk will be there to support you every step of the way. Midwest IT Support Help Desk. We are committed to excelling at our job so you can focus on doing yours. Please visit www.midwestitsupport.com for more information, or shoot us an email at helpdesk@midwestitsupport.com. Give us a call, 765-239-9668.
City authorities in your area have reported that the bodies of the dead are rising from their graves and attacking the living.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Good morning. Your morning cup of sports right here on RadioAFS.com. Fat Boy Media, DRCP Army. Ah, it's a great Tuesday. It's way too late for this shit already. Jumping to the end. Good night. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I am B. Evans, and I think Farmer is with me. I'm not sure, because he might still be out on Route 66 at Uranus Fudge Factory. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The best fudge comes from Uranus. Uranus Fudge Factory on Route 66. What's up, Farmer? Mr. Farmer.
Hey, what's going on, B? You know, you were there controlling the board today. I'm out on Route 66 looking for Uranus, and I can't find it, man.
Well,
where'd you go?
What's that?
I said, where'd you go? We got some technical difficulties, B.
All right, I'm back. Hey, everybody.
Hey, B, what's going on, baby cake?
What's up, man?
I'm not sure exactly
what happened there, but...
Yeah, I'm not either, but hey, I'm driving around Route 66 looking for Uranus and the best fudge.
Ah, so you did catch that part.
Oh, you know I did. Well, you know, NASA is going to be probing Uranus here pretty soon. Hopefully they get some sort of consent, or else, you know, Uranus could sue NASA.
So I have something really awesome to tell you.
Okay. Let me know.
I have something, and you're going to love this. You're going to love
it. Okay.
So,
right.
Now, I know you have an issue with me talking about things from other countries, but...
Oh, Jesus, here we go again.
It does involve surfing.
Oh, hey, all right, I'm down. Let's go.
All right. Charlie Fry is a doctor. He was at a beach
like
north of...
No, hold on. Wasn't he like a professional quarterback at one time?
I think so, yes, but not this guy.
Okay,
I think it's like the different
okay.
dude. But anyways,
well,
Charlie
same
Fry
name.
Is at a beach. What?
Same name.
Yes, same name. He was at a beach north of Sydney, Australia yesterday.
All right. Yeah.
When a shark jumped out of the water and hit him right in the shoulder. Now, he goes and he gets knocked into the water, obviously, and the shark comes over to attack him. And what does this guy do? He punches the shark in the face.
People are listening to our show, B.
He clearly didn't get the full memo because you're supposed to poke him in the eye, damn it. We've talked about this how many times? You poke a shark in the eye. But this guy's a badass. He punched the shark in the eye or right in the face.
Right.
And then he climbed back on his board and he surfed back to shore.
What?
Yep. Punched him in the face and then he ran away like a freaking coward.
Poke it in the eye. Now, Mr. Fry. Charlie Fry, the football player, I think, maybe. I know you listen to the Morning Cup of Sports here on Radio AFS. Everyone does. You don't punch it. You poke it. Middle finger, pinky finger, thumb, you know, however you can get that digit shark's eye, you should. But hey, you punched it, you freaking did an Anthony Passo on it, you tried to TKO a shark. I don't know how well that worked, but you're alive to tell your story.
Exactly. Yeah,
but
I mean,
here's my question, B. Here's my question, right? Always farmer question. Was there a witness to this shark jumping out of the water?
No, I guess there was no witness. It doesn't say anything about a witness or nothing. He was just out on the water. And I mean, I would have said it too, though. I mean, I'd go, if I'm out there by myself, I'm be like, hey, I straight beat a shark's ass and made it run home to mommy crying. Put me on the news.
Now
I'm famous now.
Right. Now you're seeing where I'm going with this. This story smells a little sharky, if you know what I mean.
Well, but then again, I mean, the only thing, though, is, you know, if he's out on a beach or he's out somewhere surfing or something like that, somewhere, especially like Australia, where it's like big to be surfing, you know, it's very possible that there were some kind of, you know, witnesses around that seen it. They're just, you know, maybe not know exactly what all happened. I mean, but then again, if they're not going to be like some cool, you know, some cool witness that says something funny or something, they're not going to, they might be like, oh, hey, you know, did this really happen? And then be like, all right, thanks. Have a nice day.
Right. So I'm just trying to say, hopefully we're not being like big media because we're all about the new revolution of reporting factual information besides on the Morning Cup of Sports. But, you know, it sounds a little fishy to me that a shark would jump out of the water at the precise time that this dude is surfing, knock him off, swim back to him to try to eat him, and he punches him in the eye with no scrapes, no bruises, no nothing like that.
Well, no, I mean, he had, like, you know, I mean, the guy had some scratches and stuff like that on him and everything.
Right.
But,
did the guy,
I mean, it was nothing
major
because the shark didn't actually get a hold of him. But,
right.
I mean, it is very well. I mean, how many times do swimmers and surfers get attacked by sharks because of the fact, why? Because their wetsuits make them look like food. You know, they look like seals. And of course, you know, sharks are curious creatures. So they run, you know, they swim up to it and stuff, seeing what's going on. I'm like, hey, lunch, free. I don't have to pay for this shit. Yeah. You know, so I mean,
right.
It could have been something like that. I mean, it could have just, and then again, I mean, it could have just been jumping. You know, I mean, animals do that shit.
Right.
Hey, you never know.
Hey, you know what? I got some awesome news to tell you, too. Very awesome.
What's that?
It's like mind-blowing. It's like, better than taking a toilet poop.
Oh, I got something about toilets on here too.
Yeah, this is better than shitting United. I swear, bro. This is like grade A, top notch, like a bear shitting in the woods, good stuff.
Is this? Are you referring to the streaker?
No. I'm referring to our San Francisco 49ers getting the dub.
Oh, I know, man. I was pumped. I was, like, super hype about that.
I know. And then Marquise Goodwin getting a 78-yard touchdown, 80-yard touchdown, the longest in a very, very long time, after being in the hospital with his wife and baby boy who passed away due to complications. And then for him to get a touchdown, man, it's like a miracle. And you know, granted, the Giants were only 1-1. So, you know, just watching the game.
One win.
One win. And, you know, Mrs. Farmer, you know, that you call her now. So we get into to the local dive bar. And I showed her. She's like, so you're saying there's a chance? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm saying there's a huge chance. In winning, that is.
Yeah, I was really happy to see the win. I mean, it's been a long time coming. You know, we definitely needed it. And, you know, I mean, there was, I don't know, man. It should have happened a long time ago. I mean, we had, what, 5 games where we lost by 3 points or less?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just trying to get the capital, you know, trying to capitalize, and we just weren't
all
able
right.
to do it.
And now we're on a bye week. So no Niner football this week. Following week, I wonder if Seahawk Dan is still willing to put his money where his mouth is.
Well, you know, that's actually a really good question. And I wonder if we could get Seahawk Dan on the phone.
You know, granted, this is still 2 weeks away. He still has a Monday night game that he needs to worry about, and then the San Francisco 49ers. So, you know, I'm just saying, I'm already looking for, you know, I'm already looking that week already because we get a huge win. The guys are pumped. Guys are stoked. We're better than the Browns now. So whenever you can say that, that's a good day. Now, I am still willing to wager, even if they didn't win, I would still be willing to make a humiliation bet. But we will see if Seahawk Dan or any other Seahawk fan are willing to put their mouth where their wages are.
Well, that's going to be the tricky part, though, Farmer. I mean, for me, it's going to be harder for me than for you, but, you know, that bandwagon's just a rolling, man. It's hard to keep up with them Seahawk fans. You know, 1 minute they're a Seahawk fan. No, they're gone. And I'm like, where'd they go? And, oh, wait, there they are. They're wearing a Kansas City Chiefs jersey, or they're wearing a Carolina Panthers jersey. You just never know where these guys are going to be. They're like Bill
lately
Murray.
Be.
Yeah,
lately it's the L.A. Rams because they're the best team in our division.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, I mean, you know, you never know because, I mean, they bounce around like crazy. I'm a Seahawks fan. I'm a diehard Seahawks fan, have been all my life. Go, Tom Brady, go! You know, I mean.
Wait, prophecy that because now I got very good sound bites.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
Okay. All right.
Because everybody that knows me knows I'm a Niner fan. So you're, you know, unless you set that as like your ringtone or something, that's just horrible.
I might.
That'd be bad.
I might.
But, so, I'm thinking.
Well, right now it says fucker's calling. So, you know, I never know if it's you or Anthony Passo who's calling me. So, you know, it says fucker calling, fucker calling, fucker calling.
Now, I do believe that. I do believe that.
Mm-hmm. So we talked a little sports. So, how was Minnesota?
Oh, Minnesota was great, dude. Minnesota was fantastic. Because I tell you what, there's nothing better than jerking off a 6-foot-tall, massive snow dick and having it shoot everywhere.
Right. I just asked, you know, because you were supposedly out sick for the Beating Drum radio show. And then a couple hours later, you're out pumping peanuts. I was curious, you know?
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, make sure you check out our Facebook page because it's up there. Oh, man. So, I think that the Buffalo Bills need to look into recruiting a new running back.
Well, I think the Buffalo Bills fan base needs to get their brain checked.
Well, yeah, that too. But, well, no, the only reason I say that is because if you look at Sunday's game, they played the New Orleans Saints, and they lost at home,
yeah,
47-10. But five of the players of the Buffalo Bills rushed 15 times, five of them, and got a total of 69 yards. But they had a streaker on the field that ran from end zone to end zone for 100 yards. Now I'm going to say that he's going to prefer a little less padding and uniform than, you know, league standard. But, hey, man, I think this guy might be able to get the job done for him.
You know, I'm still looking, and I was wondering, where were you on Sunday, sir?
It's funny because it was actually a lost bet, and it looks like Anthony Passo with a wig on.
You know, no, because that guy was way too skinny for Anthony Passo. So
I don't know, man. He's got,
so,
it's funny because I'm looking
so
the pictures right here though.
Where were you on Sunday, bro?
I was actually here at the house, getting ready to do my.
I may need confirmation from the sandwich maker to call in at 646-668-8467, and give your whereabouts. On Sunday, sir.
Well, if the sandwich maker is calling, yes, she needs to call in at 646-668-8467 and confirm this, because if she was to see the picture that I'm looking at right now, she can confirm that my ass is not as pasty white as this guy's in this photo.
Well, again, you know, until further documentation has been proven to me, that was you.
Well, if she's listening, please call in.
646-668-8467. And you know what, Dee? The stats came out for the radio network. They do every Monday or Tuesday. And I want to thank, and I'm sure B does too, but, you know, he's still trying to convince his sandwich maker to say, hey, call in, tell Farmer I was here. But we want to thank every single one of our listeners here on your Morning Cup of Sports for making us the #2 listened show on Radio AFS. So, again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart and B's white pasty ass.
Yeah, in all honesty, I mean, yes, thank you very much for listening and tuning in, but my ass is not white and pasty. Don't be jealous, Farmer. Don't be jealous, but it's not white and pasty.
Oh, trust me, I'm not. I go
but it's not pasty.
Sunbathing, so mine is definitely not white and pasty either.
How the hell? Why are we talking about our pasty white asses? What the hell?
Well, because I'm still waiting on the sandwich maker to call in to confirm your whereabouts.
You know, actually, I don't even know what she's doing right now.
trying to figure out an alibi.
Oh, shit. So, excuse me.
Did you see? So B, sit down. Hold on. Are you sitting, right? Since I'm not in studio today.
I'm sorry?
B, you are sitting down, right? Because I'm not in studio today, and I just want to make sure that you're sitting down for this next statement that I'm about ready to say.
Yes, I'm sitting down.
Okay, are you holding on?
Not really.
Okay. All right, here we go. I want to congratulate Colin Kaepernick. That's right.
What?
Farmer said it.
What?
Farmer said it. I want to congratulate Colin Kaepernick from Turlock, California, a graduate from Nevada College, the quarterback of the Nevada Wolves, or whatever the frick they're called, and one of the former quarterbacks to get us to the Super Bowl where no other quarterback has been able to do it besides Joe Cool and also Steve Young. That guy, Colin Kaepernick, congratulations for being Person of the Year for GQ.
Most definitely. I mean, congratulations to it, but I'm more impressed at what you just said.
Well, you know, here's the thing, B, changing my stance against the national anthem, but if you let million-dollar athletes affect how you think, affect on what you do, and affect everything of your being, you let them win. So everyone has the right to do what they want. Everyone has the right to kneel. Everyone has the right to stand. Everyone has the right to interlock arms. And on Thursday, when the Seattle Seahawks played the Arizona Cardinals, there wasn't a single person who was kneeling. So that right there, but maybe it didn't prove it to everyone, that these players are not kneeling to disrespect veterans. They are truly kneeling for the injustice. Maybe not. Maybe their cry needs to be for all humanity and not just black people. But that right there, B. Evans, showed me, and maybe it showed America, what these NFL players are actually kneeling for. Sir.
Well, I'm going to go on record again, because I said this before. I believe that what they're fighting for and what they were saying and, you know, everything that they wanted and what the stance was for, I agreed. Yes, there is a lot of police injustice in this world, and, you know, there's a lot of racial inequalities, and the list goes on and on of, you know, what was, you know, what this was started for. And I agree, yes, that there is a way to have your voice heard. Now, I didn't agree with the platform that they used, but it is on a worldwide platform. And I think that, you know, it was a way to make a start. The way they went about it has been done differently, but it did work. And
Hey, B.
Yes.
But this is what I truly think of Colin Kaepernick. There you go.
Well, that was disturbing.
Why?
What'd you say? You said why?
Yeah.
It
it sounds like you were taking a piss.
No, sir. That was me flushing a public rest toilet on Route 66.
That fudge getting to you from Uranus?
Oh, man, that fudge from Uranus, man. Woo.
The fudge from Uranus came out of Uranus.
Yes, it was a sticky situation, if you know what I mean.
That's disgusting.
So, even though I did give kudos to Colin Kaepernick, you're still a toilet and everything else like that. But again, you know, I do understand what they're protesting. But again, if you let multimillionaires decide what you do and what you don't do, think about that for a minute. Just think about it. If you're not going to go to a football game because of somebody taking a knee, they win. If you don't watch football because somebody's taking a knee, they win. Think about that long and hard while you're on the toilet today, and every time you flush it, please flush Colin Kaepernick for me.
Well, speaking of flushing, the other day we had talked about how somebody had created a dress that looked like, or that was basically a dry cleaner's bag.
Correct.
Okay. Well, now we have someone special here, an artist named Ilma Gore used 24 different bags and has created can't even believe I'm actually going to say this, a $100,000 golden toilet made out of gold and Louis Vuitton bags.
Wow.
A $100,000 toilet, dude. Gold and Louis Vuitton. I don't care how rich you are. Your ass does not need that much luxury just to take a shit.
Yes, it does, B. Yes, it does. Mine does.
Well, I'll tell you what. You go ahead and you buy your little Louis Vuitton toilet.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep using my $60 toilet.
Okay.
And guess what? They're going to work the exact same. Okay,
you
unless
know,
that thing's
I,
got a little
I,
hidden
I,
arm that's going to reach up and pamper my asshole when I'm done,
right?
Then there's nothing, I mean, I just don't get it. I really just
right.
don't get it. Why? It's like the dry cleaner bag, man. This shit makes no sense.
I agree.
Anyways, did you see that Oscar De La Hoya said that he would come out of retirement? Not only did he say it, but he issued a challenge that said if it was accepted, he would come out of retirement for one more fight.
Right.
Issued a challenge to Conor McGregor himself and said, I will come out of retirement for one more fight if Conor McGregor accepts my challenge.
Oh, no.
It's like everybody wants to come out and beat up on this guy now. Next thing you know, Mike Tyson's going to come out with his big lisp talking about, I want to fight too.
Right? He just, I want to fight too, man. Please let me fight.
But Oscar De La Hoya coming out, it would be nice to see the Golden Boy, you know, fight one more time. But
right.
And I don't care what anybody says. I'll put it out here, and if anybody disagrees with me, feel free to call in and say something. 646-668-8467
right.
or drop us a message on your Morning Cup of Sports Football Facebook page or Twitter. It don't matter. We're there. Let us know what you think, because Oscar De La Hoya whooped Floyd Mayweather's ass in that boxing ring.
Stone
we
Cold.
All know it. Do it.
I said Stone Cold.
That's right. Now,
316.
Farmer,
what?
Before I mention anything else about sports, I want to know how your new toy is, because I know you bought one of these.
Okay.
Because I just came across the article, and I know that you got that Forbes magazine. You're like, holy shit, I got to get one of these. So Farmer went out, took out a mortgage on his house. He went, got another, a big loan, borrowed a bunch of money from a bunch of people just so he could go out and afford that $1.3 million vibrator.
Oh, Evans.
There's literally.
I'm gonna ask Radio AFS Management to subpoena your records for your computer, because I think there's some weird stuff on there that shouldn't be on a corporate computer. Just saying.
Well, you know. Man, if people actually looked at my computer, they'd probably want to call a therapist on me.
Right.
But no, back to Oscar De La Hoya. I wanted to But, I mean, he come out and he said, hey, look, I want to fight him. Issued out a challenge to him, and he said he's secretly been training that he would be ready to take on Conor McGregor in the ring. Question is, do you think Conor McGregor would take that chance?
I don't know.
Did you say you don't know?
I don't think he would be.
Okay. Any particular reason why? I mean, well, he fought Floyd Mayweather.
Right, but that is all because of the money.
Well, I think, honestly, if Oscar De La Hoya come out of retirement and fought Conor McGregor, I think that'd be a big payday, too. I mean, I think that'd be a huge payday. People would pay like crazy to see De La Hoya back in the ring one more time.
You think so?
Yeah. And he's old, but, man, he looked really good in that fight with Mayweather.
Right. I don't know, man.
I don't know. But, we like to bounce around, so,
we do.
With everything we talk about. Hey, did you see Cam Newton on Monday night, by the way?
I'm sorry?
Did you see Cam Newton on Monday night?
I was bowling on Monday night, so I kind of saw it out of my peripheral vision. I did see that the Carolina Pants girls lit up the Dolphins by poking them in the eye.
Dude, he returned to MVP status last night. 254 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and 95 rushing yards.
Right.
The guy was on fire.
Right there, baby.
The guy was on fire last night, dude.
Yes, he was.
That's crazy. Of course, we ain't seen, And something else that we've talked about off and on, back and forth, this and this and this, because we were not on yesterday to bring this up, but
right.
Ezekiel Elliott's suspension has finally been instated.
Yes, and the Cowgirls got their ass handed to them. Woohoo!
Yes, they did. Now, I'm sorry, but this should have been taken care of a long time ago. They should have just got it done and over with and just knocked it out. You know what I mean? Like, they drug it on for far too long. I think it was nothing but a big publicity stunt, if you want my honest opinion.
Yeah.
And then you got Roger Goodell. It's funny because now Roger Goodell, he's all, you know, they go ahead and they make him, you know, they enforce the suspension. And then now they're talking about, you know, Roger Goodell and his contract extension. And he's wanting, what is it, $50 million a year and his own private jet paid for so he can fly wherever and whenever. I mean, like, really? Like, does the NFL league commissioner really need to have his own private jet paid
no.
for? I mean,
I think that they just need to cancel his contract and find somebody else, but that's just that's my personal opinion, babe.
Oh, I agree completely with that. I really do. You know, I mean, and I mean, it's just going. It Roger Goodell's a douchebag, and you know,
yeah.
And it's funny that we're talking Roger Goodell too, because I mean, Jerry Jones is getting a cease and desist warning from some of the NFL owners over his possible lawsuit with Roger Goodell.
Right.
I mean, shit's getting out of hand.
It is. Bunch of rich people.
I think all this stemmed from the Ezekiel Elliott suspension.
I do too, but B, it's like a whole lot of white people with a whole lot of money that don't know what the hell to do with it. So they're like, hey, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That really does sound about right. But, Mr. Farmer, we have a phone call, sir.
No, bring him on.
Bringing him on. Good morning on your morning cup of sports. Who are we talking to today?
Good morning. It's the counselor calling. Hey, I wanted to congratulate our San Francisco 49ers for finally getting off the schneid.
Well,
grabbing that first
sir.
Win. I actually watched the whole damn game on my NFL ticket and enjoyed it. So, I know y'all. I'm not the 49ers fan, but I did enjoy the win and. I don't know. I you probably talked about it already. I ain't been able to listen yet. I was just calling in. Your quarterback looks okay. So I don't know what y'all are thinking about your new quarterback who has yet to take a snap. And I was just wondering what y'all thinking about Mr. Beathard and Garoppolo and how that's all going to play out.
Well, B. Evans, I'm going to take this one first. Thank you for the win, Chancellor, I've always been a fan of CJ, and I believe that he could still be the next great thing in San Francisco, but as we all know, if you're not getting the W's, you know, management's going to do what management thinks which is best for the organization. I think that Snapalapaopagus, a.k.a. Jimmy Garoppolo, is just trade bait for after the season.
All right. Well, that's kind of interesting. I don't know what their plans were. This whole Garoppolo thing starting last year just seemed like a I don't know, some kind of thing going on from New England just trying to trump him up for. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with him being a backup, and I don't maybe that's. Maybe he is NFL caliber starter. You know, I don't know. I really don't. But it just I don't know. I mean, the third stringer's starting for Indy right now. So I mean, you know. But anyways, I just wondered what y'all thought. I thought like I really thought New England was kind of hoodwinking whoever it was that would pony up. You know, they were asking for first round picks and whatever and basically with San Francisco giving their second and, you know, I mean, that's damn near a first round pick or will be. So, anyways, it just seemed a bit odd that New England was really promoting this guy and to get rid of him. So
well,
anyways,
yeah. but here's the thing, right? San Francisco lost, right, a second round draft pick, which they already had two. They gave them the second half, you know, the lower half of the second round. The Niners really aren't paying much for him. He's a free agent after the end of this season. So even if they wanted to, they could franchise tag him and pay him the league minimum, and we could still have him for another year to see how, you know, C.J. Beathard works out. It's a smart move in my eyes also.
I like what I'm seeing out of Beathard. I mean, it just, you know, and maybe he's just a really good backup, and there's nothing wrong with having that on your team either. I don't know.
Right.
But I just don't know what the plans are, because you, like you said, he's Garoppolo's not signed, so whatever. It'll be
right.
Fun to watch. I also wanted to throw out some props to Mr. Marquise Goodwin. I understand his situation that he had personal going on, and to have that touchdown, I mean, for the love of God, I mean, thank God he was able to do that. And with everything going on in his life. And, I mean, you know, whatever. It's just I was really happy to see that. And I really didn't know about it till yesterday morning that he had, you know, him and his wife were going through whatever there. And so, anyways, it was just really nice to see something like that happen to him,
right,
you know, during this time. So, and one last thing here. The last couple hours of Hall of Famer, 99-year-old Billy Doerr, second baseman for Chicago White Sox, passed away in the last just this morning. So there's your breaking news. The oldest, I guess, living Hall of Famer for baseball. No more. I don't know who's the next man up, but he was 99 years old. So I guess that's a good run. Other than that, you all have a good day, and I will hopefully talk to you soon.
All right.
Almost definitely, sir.
Usually when you call in, you got to rag on some kickers. So no kicker information this week?
He actually dropped off, Farmer.
Oh, man. I always like him when he starts talking about kickers and everything, but I guess we lose that. So,
he definitely follows the kickers.
Take? Right. What is your take on CJ and Stopalopoulos?
Well, to be honest with you, man, I'm with you 100% on that. I mean, we've talked about CJ before. We've argued about the fact that CJ wasn't the starting quarterback, you know, and that we needed to get Brian Hoyer out. We kept Hoyer in way too long, you know, and I think that's a big factor that hurt us with where we're at now. With our record, I think that, I mean, that's not the deciding factor, but that could have helped some. But
right.
I'm with you. I think that trading Garoppolo and taking him from the Patriots, I think it is part of a whole bunch of trade bait. But the question is, what else are they going to do? Because they're not – okay, we know that – we know Kyle Shanahan wants Kirk Cousins. But you're not going to get Kirk Cousins for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not going to happen. So
no.
What else is work? What do they have in the works? What are they going to add to it to sweeten this deal? Because right now, it's just bland. There's nothing there. You've got something on the table to start, but what are they going to add to it?
Well, B, you could add a first-round draft pick. So you get Stopalopoulos in the second or third round draft pick.
I just don't see them giving that. I do not see them giving up Garoppolo and their first round pick for Kirk Cousins. I don't see them giving up Kirk Cousins for the San Francisco 49ers quarterback Garoppolo, who hasn't really played that much. And a first-round pick for somebody who's never played in the league at all.
Yeah.
And we see how rookies are. I mean, rookies that come out usually don't play right off the bat. And if they do, you know, then it's because, well, you're probably getting drafted to the Browns and they need your help really bad. And usually you're a bust. If
right.
they come out and play right off the bat, they're usually a bust. So I don't think that that's going to be something that is – I just – it's going to have to be one hell of a sweet deal. And I don't see them getting – I don't see Kirk Cousins being traded to the 49ers for a first-round pick and Garoppolo. There's
right.
going to have to be a hell of a lot more on the table for that.
Yeah. I agree, but, you know, only time will tell. But, you know, I've been sold on CJ from start, you know, from jump. So, you know, this is truly his third start. And, you know, he holds on to the ball a little too long for my liking. But, you know, it's his first year. You got to let him grow and everything else like that. Just don't put him out to pasture. And again, I think that, you know, that CJ could be the future for the San Francisco 49ers. I've always said that, though, B.
No, I know. And you know, we've had this conversation before, you know, and we're actually both on the same, you know, we're both on the same level with this. We both agree. And, you know, I don't know. I think CJ will do good. You know, I mean, yeah, he struggled his first game in, you know, but who doesn't? You know what I mean? Like, it happens and people don't struggle, but the majority of the time you see that struggle for the first couple games, whatever. But
right.
you can see an improvement as the weeks go by, you know, and I think with the right coaching, with the right help, you know, and everything, I think you'll see a major improvement. You know, I mean, look at the difference in Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, you know, went down to Arizona and he trained with Kurt Warner. And you could tell a major – you could tell a difference in his ball play. You could tell a difference in the way he would play the ball. He had a quicker release. He looked around the field a lot more. You know, I mean, yeah, he still had faults that he had to work out. But prime example, you train with somebody and you learn from somebody who's played the game for so long and knows how to do it, you're going to pick things up. And I think, honestly, if he's shown the right – you know, if he's given the right kind of information, the right teaching – I think CJ would be a badass quarterback.
Right.
I also want to throw out a huge shout out to him for getting that rushing touchdown.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's just, you know, and no, the Morning Cup of Sports didn't get on, you know, isn't a Niner show, but, you know, you are talking to diehard Niner fans and or listening to two diehard Niner fans, you know, Farmer and B. Evans, but. You know, it's definitely, you know, the Niners have been a talk of the league for, you know, Kyle Shanahan's first year, you know, Lynch's first year. And it's nice to see that Jed York has kept his nose out of their business, at least in the media side. So I want to give a kudos to Jed York for letting these two run the football organization. I can't believe I just said that, B. But
can you say that one more time, sir? Or am I just gonna have to go back and listen to that again?
Well, no. I said that I give kudos to Jed York for letting Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch run the football organization.
Oh, I know what you said. I just wanted to hear you say it again.
You know, I do have the balls to say, you know, what I want to say. So, and I'm not afraid to say it.
I will, as much as this pains me to say, I have to agree with you. You know,
right.
I think that it was, I do actually respect, I hate saying this. I respect Jed York's moment when he said that he was part of the problem and that he was going to step back because he knows that Trent and him were part of the problem just
right.
a little bit. You know, you were just a few years late in realizing that you were part of the problem. But, you know, that's in the past,
well,
and we're moving on. you know, but, you know, the fact that he's able to acknowledge the fact that he caused issues and he needed to step back because he has no idea what the hell he's doing, you know, and you can see a difference. I don't know, dude. I don't know if it's just me, but you can tell a difference in morale with the way the players are just on the field alone.
Right.
Since Trent's been gone, since Jed York stepped back and everything, you can see a difference. We have a real head coach, you know, not Ron Jeremy's not coaching. You know, we don't have Chip Kelly anymore. We've got a real coach. We've got a real GM, you know, and these guys are actually doing things for the team, for the organization, for the fans. And you can see a difference.
Right. I agree.
So I'm happy to see it, man. I really am. I'm happy to see a change. I'm glad that he's able to admit that and realize that. And, you know, you can tell a difference this whole season. Yes, we've lost every game up until this Sunday, but 5-6 of those games were 3 points or less that we lost by. So, and we didn't have that with Chip Kelly and with Jim Tomsula. You know, we didn't have that. We were at least consistent. We lost, but we were consistent, you know,
right.
And we put up a fight. It just happened to be, I mean, we lost to the Rams by what? 3 points?
Yeah, two.
2 points. Yeah, we lost to the toughest team in our division by 2 points. And, you know, so that says something right there.
It does, B. And, you know, here's another thing, and we'll stop Niner talk, but, you know, they don't play, they didn't play like a winless team, you know. I don't know if you saw the tunnel. It was all flashing red and boom boxes and everything else like that. You know, it's just amazing how these guys aren't down on themselves when they didn't win a game. You know, that's why I said Seattle, don't underestimate the San Francisco 49ers. Why? Because they're playing on a high. They're playing with a win, and they are playing on a bye week.
Well, I'm looking forward to this Sunday's game. You know, we will be able to take that break and refresh, and we're going to come back. I think we're going to win next week, or I think we're going to win our next game.
I think we
needed this win, and with as close as we've kept so many games this year, and then we finally got that W. I think that's what we needed. Now I'm not going to say we're going to come out and win every single game the rest of the season. But it's definitely not going to be a one-game season.
Right. I
so,
agree, sir.
I'm really excited and looking forward to it. So,
yeah.
I'm pumped.
So,
but,
just for
real quick.
Promotion, B, you know, our other show that you and I do, the Beating Drum, on Radio AFS here on Saturdays at 3 p.m., 6 p.m., the Beating Drum Radio Show is doing a current promotion. That promotion is a giveaway of a book called Aren't We Sue Enough by Eunice Davidson, and also an etched plaque of the Fighting Sue logo. And all you have to do to enter to win is to like the post and like the page. And if you've already liked the page, that doesn't exclude you out. Just like the post. And share it. So there's already been over 100 likes on the post. So thank you, everyone who has liked the page and the post. And the drawing of that is the day after Thanksgiving, B. So, you know, it's been a great so far day, not even a day of promoting that. So anyone here on the Beating Drum or on the Morning Cup of Stat and get a chance to win that. Go over there to the Beating Drum on Facebook and give that post a like.
Most definitely. I've seen that. And, being out sick on Saturday, I wasn't able to make the show, but I'm really excited about that. You know, we've had a lot of headway. I seen that this morning, the amount of likes, and it's really cool. I'm excited about it. And I started looking up the book because I want to know what the book is. You know, I wanted to read it and everything. So I started looking it up, and it actually, I haven't had a chance to sit down and read it yet, but, or even start yet, but it does seem like a really interesting read. And, I was entertained by it. So, you know, I like reading books. So yes, I can read. I don't just look at pictures.
Okay, good.
So, you know, you can be surprised there all you want. But yeah, I mean, it looks like a great book, and I'm actually looking forward to being able to sit down and read it myself. So, you know, definitely like that post and share it, get it out there, get entered in this drawing, because you're not going to want to pass up on this opportunity.
No, because the Fighting Sioux, North Dakota Fighting Sioux Forever plaque, it is a limited edition. There were only 5 of those made, and I think there's only 1 or 2 left. So definitely get in trying for that.
Oh, wow. Well, off the subject of Fighting Sioux, I got to throw this out there real quick. I want to give a huge congratulations to my favorite basketball coach in college basketball and my all-time favorite basketball team in men's basketball. Huge congratulations to Mike Krzyzewski, head coach for the past 37 years of the Duke Blue Devils. He has reached a milestone of 1,000 wins.
That is huge, B. That is huge.
This dude is awesome. He's great, man. Mike Krzyzewski is a badass coach. He's so cool. He's so awesome. And
I usually just call him Coach K.
Well, yes, Coach K, but, you know. But, yeah, I mean, hey, 1,000 wins, dude. That's awesome. 1,000 wins, 37 years. I mean, you break down the math. I mean, yeah, you're kind of – a lot of people could look and be like, really, only 1,000 in 37 years? But that's actually a lot.
It is.
So, I mean, it's huge and a major, like I said, congratulations to him and the Blue Devils teams that he has coached. I mean, he's got his gym, the Blue Devils gym is named after him, dude. That is awesome. That's when you know you are a kick-ass coach and you are doing a great job.
So if I have a porta potty named after me, does that mean I'm good at shitting?
You know what? Yes, Farmer, I'm going to give you that one.
Shucks. Thank you, sir.
You know, we didn't get a chance to give the counselor our moment. He didn't have his moment.
He is wise to us, I think, because he is on and he is gone.
Yeah, you don't get a word in with him. He calls in, says he speaks his mind, then he's off. And I think it's because he knows what we're going to do.
Yes.
I really do. I think it's because he knows what we're going to do.
Well, yeah. He's wise to the Morning Cup of Sports antics, I think.
Antics. We don't do antics. We just have fun. Just a little bit, but we have some fun.
Right. But according to the listeners here on Radio AFS, they like us because we're the number 2 show on the network.
Well, it's going to be hard to do, but I think them little girls, them ladies over there on that talk therapy on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, or 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, need to watch out because Farmer and B. Evans are coming for that top spot again.
Well, you know, when you have two lovely ladies with awesome voices talking about sex.
It really is. It really is, you know, and I mean, you know, Farmer and I, we have very awesome voices and we could just talk about sex, but I mean, hey, if we did that, man, they wouldn't even have a show. You know, they just get no listeners. And we don't want to kill it like that for them.
No, we don't. We're going to beat them fair and square. So share this, like this, love this. Tell a friend about your morning cup of sports and tell them how much fun you had. Hey, Pete, you know what time it is. It's that time to wrap up this hour show and thank every single one of you for listening. And it wasn't quite as funny today. I get it. But sometimes we got to keep the morning cup of fuckery on the level. So, again, we appreciate every single one of you. Hey, Pete, what time is it?
Well, I just got a message saying that the sandwich maker was about to call in, but apparently it's way too good for that shit.
Exactly, B. And you know what? It's always way too early for this shit. Hey, B, do you want to do the Radio AFS poke? It's Tuesday.
You know what? Fuck it. Why not? And here is your Radio AFS internet poke.